In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My good friend, Father Jeffrey Meadowcroft, over at Christ Church, he always begins his sermons with a question, and so I think I'll try that this morning. And the question is this: what is it that nourishes you? What is it that supports you and fills you up, gives meaning to your life? At a baseball game, you might be nourished by a couple of hot dogs and a beer, as my son and I were this past Thursday night in evening in Asheville. They have Thirsty Thursdays there where you can get a beer for a dollar, and so we decided to go to the ball game this past Thursday night. At the close of a semester in school, you might be nourished by a good grade, hoping for a B or maybe a B plus. If you're lucky or work really hard, an A-minus or even an A. You might have already experienced the nourishment of a summer vacation, going to the beach or the mountains, or you might be looking forward to an upcoming trip. And I'm doing just that because Bill Poe and I are planning to go to out west to Colorado and Utah on a road trip the last 2 weeks in September. And we've already begun planning that, and we're very much looking forward to all the national parks that we're going to visit. You might find nourishment in a job well done. Our prayer book catches the flavor of this in the wonderful prayer of thanksgiving that you can find on page 836. And there it says, "We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us." It fills us up, nourishes us when we work hard at a difficult task and then see it through to the completion of that. Tim Jones is a deacon at St. James Parish in Hendersonville, where I attend church now. And Tim is he's the best preacher I've ever heard, a lot better than me. And he gave a workshop about 2 years ago for the men of Christ Church who had gone up to Canoga for a retreat. And he talked about finding his own nourishment in wilderness, that whenever his job just gets him down he gets frazzled at the things that he's working on and so tired, and so he retreats to the wilderness and he goes to the woods where he can find silence and the fresh air and the wonderful smells of the deep woods. And that is his nourishment there. No doubt you and I experience nourishment in the relationships that we share with friends and family, and the love that we find there. I saw on Facebook just this past week a reminder, kind of a synopsis of the life of a fellow named Viktor Frankl, who you may know. And the story there told about Viktor enduring the horrors of the Holocaust and then to go on to write the classic book, Man's Search for Meaning, which you may have read. Viktor was nourished during those dark times by the love that he had for his wife. And even though she and his parents all perished there in Auschwitz, Viktor believed that his life had meaning and purpose. That belief nourished him through months of starvation and beatings and brutality. He gave his fellow prisoners hope. He nourished them. So, again, back to the question, what nourishes you? Sometimes that which nourishes can be destructive. Some are nourished only by power and control over others. Some are nourished only by addictions, like my father. He was nourished by alcohol. Some are nourished only by sex or lust, as was King David from our first lesson today. Bathsheba could have been the very first of the Me Too movement that highlights women who are the victims of sexual abuse. King David's abuse of power went beyond his abuse of Bathsheba, though, and it claimed the life of her husband Uriah. I think one of the most cruel parts of that story, one of the saddest parts of that story, was that David gave that letter, which was the death warrant for Uriah, for him himself to deliver by his own hand. How cruel. Are there things that nourish you in a negative or a destructive way? True nourishment, real nourishment, is always good and holy and helpful and generous and life-giving. True nourishment brings peace and life, mercy and grace. King David was, of course, challenged by Nathan, the prophet, to repent of what he had done, and he did, but not before he had made some deadly wreckage. So, what nourishes you? Last week's gospel from Mark began by saying, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all around the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion upon them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and so he began teaching them many things. And then, last week's gospel, it skipped over 19 whole verses and picked up with Jesus healing a host of people that had been carried to him on mats by their friends. They wanted to, as it said, just touch the edge of his cloak to be healed. And they were. That was the nourishment that they were looking for, healing itself. Now, I always get my interest piqued when the lectionary skips over some verses. And so I remember last week reading the missing 19 verses. And the missing part was the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and then Jesus walking on the water of Lake Gennesaret. Just what we have for today, our today's gospel. Except today we switch from the story as told by Mark to the story as told by St. John. Here there is no teaching mentioned. Jesus is just trying to feed this host of people, trying to nourish them. They weren't really looking for God. They were looking for signs. They were looking for magic. Mostly they were looking for free food. Jesus did indeed want to nourish them, but with so much more than just bread or fish. He wanted to nourish them with the gift of himself, to try to get them to see that he is the source of true life, true nourishment. You know the story. Big crowd. Disciples who cannot even imagine that Jesus is really the Son of God. And so then when he asked them about feeding this crowd of people, they turned to thoughts of buying food, of going to the Ingles and seeing if they can turn in their coupons and get a good deal on some bread, rather than turning to the one who made the universe to solve this problem. The real hero of the story is a little boy who offered up all that he had. 5 loaves, 2 fish, little fish. The kind that little boys catch. Whether or not this story is about a miraculous multiplication of food, or whether the real miracle might possibly even be that this little boy's offering of what he had prompted the other people around to share what they themselves had hidden under their cloaks so they wouldn't have to share. Regardless, the story is not really even about food, but about the question of who Jesus is. What his identity is. That's why the story is linked to the second story about the crossing of the lake. It's night and dark, and that's always a cue from St. John that whether it is Nicodemus or Judas or here these dumb disciples, they just don't understand. They're in the dark. They're crossing the lake, and Jesus comes to them, and they don't recognize them, and they're terrified. And here's the point of the story. Jesus says, it is I. Another translation of that would just as easily be, I am. Which, of course, throughout the Old Testament, was the very name of God himself. Jesus is saying to his disciples, don't you see? Don't you get it? Don't you perceive that I am the Son of God? That I am God indeed? And Jesus wants all of us, you and I, to perceive that as well. The story of the loaves and the fishes is really a story about Eucharist. Its roots go all the way back to God feeding the Israelites in the desert with manna from heaven. John says, now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And that's a cue that the feeding of this multitude is a reminder of God's ability to feed, to nourish us in every way. The Eucharist that we will celebrate and partake of in just a few minutes, it's an opportunity to encounter the nourishment of the living God here in our presence. In the palm of our hand, on the tip of our tongue, in this gathered community, in the way that we have heard and encountered today's scriptures, in the faces of each other, in our very hearts, in the peace that we will share in a moment. And if we do indeed encounter God here, the promise is that He will nourish us as will no other person or thing or experience. God in Christ will nourish us in this life with meaning, with the promise of life eternal, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, with the courage to nourish others with the gift of our own lives. And so then, back to the question, what nourishes you? A hot dog and a beer? Perhaps good music? Humor? The affirmation of others? Love itself? The satisfaction of a job well done? The love of family or spouse, or is it the presence of God Himself?